Welcome to Meteorology Matters. Wow, you sent over some really heavy stuff this time. These events you pointed out, they really make you think about the foundations of American governance, you know? So I think we've got to get right into it and unpack what's going on here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been a ton of buzz, a lot of discussion and debate swirling around. This day, March 15th, 2025, Black Saturday, some are even calling it. It's pretty intense. They're saying this is it. This is like the day American constitutional democracy started to, well, maybe crumble.
It seems like the heart of it all, what everyone's really grappling with is this: the president openly defying a federal court order, like straight up ignoring it. And this is the crazy part, there were no immediate consequences. Like,
Exactly. We're going to break it all down. We'll get into the specifics of what went down, the defiance, the arguments people are making about it, and why some folks are convinced this was like a seismic shift in power in the U.S. government. We'll also talk about how we even got to this point and, what this might mean in the long run.
okay, so ground zero, a federal judge says jump, and the White House says nah. Walk me through it. What actually happened?
All right. So a federal judge issued a ruling, right? Crystal clear instructions to the White House. And then, boom, in a move that many are calling, well, unprecedented, the executive branch just ignored it, flat out decided not to follow the court's order. And here's the kicker: no one stepped in. No other branch, no swift consequences, nothing. It was like this huge power vacuum.
And from what we've gathered, from reports and insider accounts, the White House's decision wasn't even about whether the judge's order was legally sound. It was purely about power. Like, could they get away with it?
Yeah, that's the word on the street. It wasn't about legal arguments, precedent, nothing like that. It was all about whether they could flex their muscles and face zero pushback. And well, their actions speak louder than words, right?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting and kind of scary, if you ask me. This wasn't just a political spat, right? This wasn't two branches of government disagreeing. This was the judiciary basically being shown that it had no teeth.
Right, and that's the whole point critics are raising. Look, courts, they have no armies, no police force. They rely on the other branches to enforce their rulings. Respect for the system. What happened here? It's being called a direct assault on judicial authority. It's like saying a court without enforcement power, it's just a suggestion box. And a president who can just ignore the courts, well, that's an untouchable executive.
So this wasn't just talk, this was action. The executive branch put on a clinic in how to bypass the judiciary.
Exactly. And this is how, according to a lot of folks, democracies start to fall apart. It's the normalization of defiance, the idea that you can just ignore the rules if you're powerful enough.
Okay, so let's get specific. What was this court order all about? What were the details that led to this standoff?
The court order focused on the deportation of Venezuelan migrants. The judge was concerned that they were being sent to El Salvador, to a mega prison, without due process. This prison has a really bad track record, known for human rights abuses. So the judge's order was pretty clear: stop the deportations, turn any planes around that are already en route.
And the administration just disregarded all of that.
Basically, yeah, they didn't follow the order, didn't really answer the judge's questions, and they even claimed that the court didn't have jurisdiction because, well, international airspace.
This doesn't feel like an isolated incident, though, right? This feels like part of a larger pattern with this administration, like this constant pushing against accountability.
Yeah, you're picking up on a key theme here. This Black Saturday thing, it's not being viewed as a one-off. It's being seen as the culmination, or maybe the next chapter, in a long line of attempts to hold this president accountable and those attempts failing.
You're talking about the impeachments. Twice and nothing. The criminal cases that are stuck in limbo. Even the Supreme Court, they decided not to touch the disqualification question.
All of that. And on top of it, Congress, they seem hesitant to really use for power to check the executive branch. Each time this happens, it's like a signal to the president. It says, hey, you can push, you can test the boundaries, and the system might just flinch.
So the takeaway is laws are only as good as the institutions willing to enforce them. And if those institutions back down.
Then you're left with, well, basically a power grab. The rule of law becomes more like the rule of whoever can wield the most power.
Okay, let's talk about the judiciary. You mentioned the Supreme Court and their role in all of this. How do their actions or maybe inactions play into what we're seeing now?
Well, the argument is that the judiciary's authority had already been weakened, like chipped away, even before Black Saturday. And a lot of fingers are pointed at a specific Supreme Court ruling from 2024.
The one that expanded presidential immunity. How does that connect to Black Saturday?
So that ruling, it basically said that the president is, well, practically untouchable while in office, like functionally above the law, some say. It opened the door for a president to theoretically commit crimes without facing immediate consequences. And then Black Saturday happened, and it was like, okay, now they're ignoring court orders, too. It's like a 1-2 punch to the system of checks and balances.
So instead of separation of powers, it's more like absorption of power. Everything's flowing into the executive branch.
That's the fear. The courts, you know, they're supposed to be the last line of defense against executive overreach. But now they're issuing rulings that the executive can just ignore. It's like, what's the point anymore?
Okay, so let's talk about the administration's justification. They must have given some reason for ignoring the court order, right?
They did. They pulled out this old law, the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. They basically said, hey, this is about national security, foreign relations, the president's in charge. Problem is, most experts are like, whoa, hold on, that law was meant for, like, wartime, foreign governments, not this. It's a major stretch, to say the least.
And what did the administration officials actually say? Like, what were their specific arguments?
Well, the White House press secretary, she came out and said, flat out, judges can't tell the president how to handle foreign policy. The attorney general, he doubled down, accused the judge of meddling, trying to control the country's foreign affairs from the bench. He basically said, we're going to keep deporting people, and that's that.
The president himself weighed in too, right? He's never been shy about sharing his opinions.
Oh yeah, he went on a whole rant, called the judge let's just say he didn't mince words. He called for the judge to be impeached, said the judge was a radical, not elected by the people, and that he, the president, is the one who knows what's best for the country.
So, bottom line, the administration's message seems to be, judges, we don't care what you think.
Pretty much. I mean, they even said the court order was patently unlawful, which is strong language. And there's also talk about their strategy. It's all about moving fast, doing things before the courts can even react.
Interesting. There were also reports about this internal distinction the administration is making. Like, they say they're not defying the courts, they're ignoring them. Is there a real difference?
Yeah. You know, it's all semantics in the end. But the idea is ignoring sounds less confrontational, right? Like, oh, we just didn't get around to reading that court order. But defining sounds like a direct challenge. I mean, in reality, though, the outcome is the same. The court's order means nothing.
And the president holds the trump card here, right? Literally. Because he controls the enforcement mechanism, something the judiciary doesn't have.
Bingo. It all comes down to who can actually make things happen. The executive branch, they have the agencies, the resources to enforce laws. The courts, they have to rely on the executive branch to play ball. When that doesn't happen, it exposes a huge weakness in the system.
Okay, so this Black Saturday thing, it's being compared to other times in history when presidents stood up to the Supreme Court. Andrew Jackson in 1832 comes to mind. What are the parallels here, and maybe more importantly, what are the key differences?
Yeah, the Jackson comparison is a popular one, but context is everything, right? Back then, America was still figuring things out, democracy was young, the Supreme Court's power wasn't as settled as it is today. Now the concern is we're seeing the erosion of a well-established democracy. It's different.
So we're not just talking about history repeating itself.
Exactly. Back then, presidential power was still being defined. Now the argument is this president is actively erasing the limits, the lines that were already drawn. Plus, Jackson had to deal with serious opposition. This president, he basically controls his party completely. It's a different playing field.
And Congress back then, they were more of a force to be reckoned with, right? Compared to now, where some say they just rubber stamp whatever the president wants.
Right. Back then, Congress was more willing to stand up to the president, act as a real check on his power. Now, not so much. It's a different dynamic, and that has serious implications for how power plays out.
So taking all of this into account, the argument is that this isn't just a blip, a political squabble. This is a signal that something fundamental has shifted, maybe even broken, in the American system.
Yeah, and this is where it gets really heavy. Some are saying that America has passed a point of no return, that we've crossed an event horizon, so to speak. The system's ability to self-correct, to bounce back from shocks, it's gone.
And events that happened before, like January 6th, the rollback of reproductive rights, they're now being seen as precursors, warning signs of this bigger shift.
Absolutely. They're being reframed as early symptoms, you know, canaries in the coal mine. And what's scary is people are just getting used to it. This normalization, that's the real danger.
The real concern here seems to be the demise of the courts as a check on power.
Yeah, that's the heart of it. If the executive branch can ignore the courts without consequence, then the whole system of checks and balances is basically useless. And that's what a lot of people are afraid of, the concentration of power in the hands of one person without any real constraints.
And going back to how things were, with a less powerful president in courts that had the final say, That's just not in the cards anymore.
That's the bleak assessment, yeah. The America of, say, the 1990s, where the president was more constrained, the courts were more respected, that's gone, according to this view. And it's not coming back, not without some major upheaval.
It's hard to wrap your head around. You know, it's all happening bit by bit, no single event that screams crisis. It's just this slow creep towards something different.
That's the insidious part, the fraud in boiling water, right? It's happening so gradually that people don't even realize how much the water's heated up until it's too late. And that's what's so dangerous about this normalization of defiance, of executive power.
So the bottom line is we're witnessing a transition from a system based on constitutional rules to a system where raw power dictates everything.
That's the argument. And that court order, the one that was ignored, that was the breaking point. It was the moment when the illusion of checks and balances was shattered.
And historically speaking, when democracies get to this point, they don't usually just bounce back, do they?
No, not without major structural changes. And that's the question everyone's grappling with now. What comes next? Can the American system, as we know it, even survive this kind of fundamental shift?
We also have some updates on reactions to all of this and some other related developments. Jack Schlossberg, President Kennedy's grandson, he had some pretty strong words. What was his take on things?
Yeah, Schlossberg was not happy. He spoke out against the president's decision to declassify his grandfather's assassination records. He basically said, this isn't about transparency, it's about political manipulation. He called out the hypocrisy of the current administration, you know, comparing them to JFK, who championed civil rights, stood up to Russia, pushed for science, things like that.
And then there's the whole issue of the federal workforce reductions, even with those court rulings saying some employees should be reinstated. What's the latest there?
Well, the administration is full steam ahead with their downsizing plans. Court orders, they're brushing them aside, calling it judicial activism, and painting this picture of liberal judges running amok.
So they're going to appeal the rulings and keep cutting jobs no matter what?
That's the plan. They say they're committed to shrinking the government, and these court orders aren't going to stop them. And, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency, the Office of Personnel Management, they're the ones driving this whole thing.
We even have specifics on potential job losses, right? Like actual numbers.
Yeah, a National Oceanic Atmosphere Administration, they're bracing for big cuts, like at least 1,000 jobs, maybe even a 10% reduction overall. That's a lot of people and a lot of expertise lost.
And the process of reinstating those fired employees, you know, the ones the court said should get their jobs back, that's been a mess, right?
Yeah, haphazard is putting it mildly. Some agencies, they're calling people back, but it's all over the place. Some are waiting for instructions from the White House. And even the people who got rehired, some are being put on administrative leave with back pay, but with the expectation that they'll be fired again later. It's a really confusing and unsettling situation for a lot of people.
So all in all, it's a pretty concerning picture of where things stand right now.
Definitely. It's a pivotal moment, and it's forcing everyone to confront some tough questions about the future of American governance.
The very idea that the system of checks and balances, the core of our democracy, could be so fragile, it's a wake-up call. And the fact that people are interpreting these events in such different ways, it just shows how complex and how crucial this moment is.
No doubt about it. We need to keep our eyes wide open and really pay attention to what's happening because the stakes are incredibly high.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, we urge you, keep digging into this. Don't just take our word for it. Look at the different viewpoints. Follow the developments. What does all of this mean for the future of our nation? It's a question we all need to be asking. And for more in-depth discussions on this or other critical topics, make sure to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on Instagram Meteorologist, on TikTok TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, follow Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. Thanks for joining us for this, well, for this crucial conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, everyone.